Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us here in studio, our Green Gold Insider from NFL Sirius Radio, Mike Clemens, is here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. A little tired. It was a long week, but lots of good stories come out of Green Bay.
I bet. Well, we'll talk about the Michael Silver thing coming up here in a little bit, but it seems like everybody's kind of happy, and they're out doing team bonding stuff, and everything is good. At least it appears to be.
Right now, this is very much the Matt LaFleur hour and show. I mean, the pressure's on for the new head coach. And he just went through these dozen OTAs and now this three-day mandatory minicamp. And he's trying to, you know, turn over a pretty good roster with, by the way, an elite quarterback out there. So you got a competitive team. You got plenty to work with. You got a great facility. But you've got, you know, you've spent 10 years in the NFL building up your philosophy, your style of play, particularly on offense, and, you know, you're trying to jam-pack this in. And the thing about this LaFleur guy is he's just always kind of calm and cool and got a smile on his face. And it's like, dude, you know, you just walked into a bee's nest here. You've got a lot of stuff you got to turn around. And I was pleased to see him as he's going around on his golf cart in what turned out to be the final practice of this off-season program, getting a little ticked off, pulling up position coaches, talking to the tight end coach, Justin Newton, and saying, wait, I want this. You know, he puts up the hand and he's waving, he's pointing directions, and you can see him because you know what? The clock is running out.
Yeah.
And he didn't get in all he wanted to get in. And it's the very last practice. These things are 2.5 hours long, and they're nonstop in tempo, and guys are starting to fall apart. Mistakes are being made. They're just mental lapses, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the frustration. And so we asked him at the end of the practice, what were some of these things that concerned him? Where now he's starting to show his true self a little bit and a little bit of anger.
Yeah, I towards the tail end there. You know, that was the third day in a row we've done a two-minute operation, and the defense is definitely ahead of the game right now. But it's not as crisp and smooth as I'd like our operation to be. You can't hear the information enough, because when something is new, you can't possibly expect everybody to get every single detail. So you got to review it over and over and over. And I think every time you hear it as a player, coach, whatever, there's a new detail that you can retain and really think about.
I like the fact that he keeps talking about detail. I like the fact that he keeps talking about doing it over and over again. We're not talking about, let's do it a couple times and then go in and watch it on video.
Because when he talks to the press, he's kind of laid back. Just kind of keeps it very centered. But every time you go up to a player, hey, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, so, you know, what's your take on LaFleur? Smart. Every player you talk to, the first word they say is smart.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because he's nice. He has the small talk. He seems to have a smile on his face. Everything's cool. Everything's under control.
Right.
We're all good. Hey, let's have fun out here, right? When he walks into the film room and takes over, up at the screen, that's when your jaw drops and you say, oh, okay, all right.
Right.
You know, Mike Sherman was the same way, in a way. You know, Mike seemed to be, you know, man of the people, love to talk to fans, and you're saying, does this guy ever blow up? Does he ever, you know, because we knew that Holmgren had the anger, and Lombardi made it famous. You know, there's got to be a drive. People have to have, when the coach walks in, everyone that is supposed to sit up straight and have the fear of God in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's the what stirs the drink, you know,
right.
The saw this being, there's got to be that everybody's got to sit up at attention, and these kind of more laid back coaches. But when I remember the first time I saw Mike Sherman working up at a chalkboard, it's like, oh, okay, this guy, I mean, he's like when you're in a calculus class and they make you go to the blackboard, you find out right away whether or not you're a student or not,
yeah, right? Right.
Or you're faking it.
Do you have it or not?
Yeah. And so that's what all these players are saying when they get into these meeting rooms. Now, my take on all these practices I've watched so far this spring is, man, they're not installing a playbook. They're working on technique. They're working on blocking. They're working on formations. They're working on eye contact with the quarterback. They're working on all those little things where your hands are supposed to be. No. Put that left foot more.
Mm-hmm.
And all these position coaches, and they all do seem to be on the same page. This is what LaFleur spent those first 2 months with his staff of 24 in those rooms saying, this is the way I want it done. A lot of these guys he'd never worked with, barely had met mm-hmm. after the interviews. So I had this hunch, and I asked Matt LaFleur about this. I said, really, this is more about teaching technique and fundamentals before you were able to get in the entire playbook installed, right?
Yeah, you got to build a solid foundation before, and you really wanted the guys to learn the details and the fundamentals of each and every play and why you're calling certain things. There's a lot of different schemes out there that you can always add to your offense, but as far as the whole playbook, it's probably not the whole playbook, but it's a good majority of it.
You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting was when Aaron talked about another team being in camp, about how much they do now versus then. Because it's tough to install a playbook when another team's standing next to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're still working on technique. It's a weird dichotomy.
Well, the Packers announced in the offseason that they're going to bring in the Houston Texans for a joint practice. Now, Mike Sherman, in what turned out to be his last year in Green Bay, brought in the Buffalo Bills for mm-hmm. one of these. And, you know, after about 10 days of training camp, guys start getting kind of nasty, and they start that's when the fights start breaking out amongst their own teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of scuffles with the Bills. If you got some free time, just Google joint practices on YouTube. You'll see some of the best NFL practice fights of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knockdown, drag right. out. There was one with the Cowboys a couple of years ago.
That was like the whole team jumped in.
Oh, yeah.
That was a whole scrum.
Yeah. And so, you know, back after 2005, Ted Thompson said, that's it. That's enough of that. And they haven't had one in the last 14 or 15 years. First season in, the new head coach says, no, I want to join practice. And I think Mark Murphy's like, okay, hey, that probably draws more fans, you know. More people go across the street to the gift store. I mean,
right.
they'd like to create excitement and media attention and all that. So they're going to bring that in. So I said to Matt.
It happens to be J.J. Watt.
Yeah, well, that too.
Doesn't
there's
hurt.
All kinds of, and he's got real relations with the guys of the Texans. So I said, so Matt, you know, now you got this 6-week break. By the way, training camp 6 weeks from yesterday. Packers at Bears to kick off the season 12 weeks from
you depressed
night.
The hell out of me, just an FYI.
It's coming. It's coming, baby.
You just depressed the hell out of me.
So I said to LaFleur, I said, so now as you get into this break, I said, when we get back here into training camp, tell me about that week one of the preseason when you have these joint practices with the Texans. And are you they built that Ray Nitschke field with the millions of dollars of lights. And when Mike McCarthy came up from New Orleans, he said, I want to have some night practices. The players respond to it. The fans come out. It's mm-hmm. a little cooler at night. We, you know, half our schedules at night. Why not do it? And then he got away from it after Mark Murphy built him the Ray Nitschke field with all those million-dollar lights
right.
instead of those noisy generator lights that we had out there for the first 3 years. He never had a night practice. So I said, are you going to have any night practices? And what about when you bring in the Texans for joint practices?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of working through all that stuff right now. But I think any time you get an opportunity to practice against another team, that's good because you can't replicate necessarily the same competitive spirit when you're going against somebody else. So it'll be a good change of scenery, a different style, both offensively and defensively. So it just creates some new challenges. And I mean, that's what it is week in and week out in the NFL. And then as far as I can certainly see us having some, we have family night. That's a night practice. So that is one right there, but no, we're going to explore that as we move forward, especially, you know, opening up on that Thursday night with the Bears.
I don't mind a night practice every now and then. I'd be able to get to it.
I think more families can come out to it. I think the players like to respond to it. And by the way, you do play half your season under the lights and all that. The players seem to relax and have more fun with those kinds of practices. On the other hand, you know, there's all kinds of arguments against this. Like, when then your players aren't getting home till about 10 o'clock, you know, that night. And the really, the NFL is geared toward a 6 a.m. start. You know, getting in there, weight room, training room, morning classes, practice, lunch, start reviewing the film. By the way, I saw something that Adam Gase, the new head coach with the Jets, he's got video screens in the field. Right after the play, you can go look at the Jumbotron and see a replay of the play on the practice field. That'll be the next thing hitting all these practice fields. That's a pretty cool idea. All new kinds of innovative things like that. So these practices, Bill, this is the big one. Matt LaFleur takes this 90-man roster, tears it in half, and he's got the top 40 guys. You go down there. The rest of you go down there with the B team. So Aaron Rodgers is there with the first team against the first team defense. Mike Pettine is over there calling plays with Blake Martinez. And Nathaniel Hackett is over there with LaFleur on the golf cart calling the offense. The B team assistant coaches, like your backup offensive line coach, Luke Butkus, he's over there with the second team. Now, DeShone Kizer is the quarterback of the second team. He's got Manny Wilkins, the four-string quarterback, taking a snap every third. But the idea is that so is that Rodgers and Kizer get as many snaps as possible.
Right.
And we can go look at the B team guys on film later on. But Rodgers is getting like three times the amount of snaps to get these plays in simultaneously like that instead of four strings and rotations and all that kind of stuff. And there's no time. Remember the TV timeouts that McCarthy put in about 5 years ago where he said, look, wait, if you're playing in a football game, there's these five-minute commercial breaks, and players have to learn to stop, start, right? Stand around and then, you know, get back into it. So he would take three of those because also his strength and conditioning guy says, you got to water these guys. So they have these five-minute breaks in practice where they play the music, and the guys that take Gatorade breaks take their helmet off, watch the helmet and all that. 2.5-hour practices, all this, no breaks. Just clicking along.
Right.
And I didn't see guys get gassed necessarily. But, you know, he eliminated that. So he's making use of every minute the CBA lets him use. The other thing is it's getting a little tighter in terms of security. You know, if you show up to a noon practice, you get out these 90-man rosters. Now, they don't tell us who's not participating. We have to take attendance.
Right.
And through a process of elimination saying, oh, wow, Corey Linsley's not on the field today. And then we got to ask about it. They don't tell you that. They just tell you, here's currently who's on the roster. The rest you got to figure out for yourself. So you would get out there 15 minutes before practice, and as the guys are walking the field, then you could start taking your attendance, right? You can get a jump on it. They won't let us on the field now until the horn blows for the first period of the practice. I don't know why. It's a security thing. And then, you know, they cut back on the amount of practices we could see, like only three or four of the OTAs, not a dozen of them. The mini camp that we had this week, closed to the public. We had some fans that were used to coming up and watching from Oneida Street, and all the tarp was up. And I had to explain to fans in the parking lot on my way to practice, I'm sorry, it's closed to the public. Oh, no, we thought it was mini. Yeah. So we asked them, how come you're cutting back on the access of fans to the OTAs in these mini camps?
I'll be honest with you guys. This is the first place I've been where OTAs have been open. So this whole off-season practices open to the public is a little bit new to me, and so I guess I got to get used to that.
And welcome to Green Bay.
There you go. By the way, welcome to Green Bay's new head coach, and you can't see what we're doing.
Our fans know more than half the writers that have covered you in those other markets.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Got more with Mike Clemens right here in studio after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I have a, trainer in Florida that I like to work out with. I had a daughter that was born, not too long ago. So, I'm just being a family man. Like I said, OTAs were voluntary, What does the word voluntary mean in the dictionary?
Depends on if you're looking in the Merriam-Webster dictionary or if you're looking in the NFL head coach dictionary. Those are two drastically different things, and if Josh Jones doesn't know that, he's not going to be long for that world when it comes to the Green Bay Packers in that locker room. I want to remind you, our Fisher House Mill, our Fisher House Wisconsin ride, I should say, is coming up on Sunday, September 1st. And we can't do it. Our friends at Bud Light present it each and every year. And we want you to go and get pre-registered. If you're a motorcyclist or know somebody who is, come and do a very worthy thing, and that is help out military, those that are in the military, veterans, and their families, and especially at the time of need when they're getting treatment in the hospital for whatever it is that ails them. So if you can help us out, we would certainly appreciate it. We would welcome it. And not to mention, it's just a terrific ride. Every year, it's like a reunion. We have such a great time. Come on out and enjoy it. You can just find it on the Facebook fan page and get signed up for it. Simply go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelShow, and the link is down the page a little bit. It's also brought to you by some good friends over at Stoley's Hog Alley out there in Oconomowoc, where they have some terrific beer, obviously great weekend breakfasts, and they have a brand new menu. It's just a lot of fun over at Stoley's as well. Just stop by and get your picture taken in the big Stoley's chair. And then my buddy over there, Sean, at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, they have got so much new stuff, and now their warranty is lifetime, as opposed to some of the others that are out there that are kind of just getting into it. He's been doing it for a long time, and they do it better than anybody, and they now warranty their product for life. Call Sean, 262-443-2852, 262-443-2852, or simply go to Epoxy Flooring Done Right. That's Epoxy Flooring Done Right. Proud supporters of the Big Units Poker Run, benefiting the Fisher House Wisconsin, presented by Bud Light. Mike Clemens joining us here in studio. So, you know, Mike, obviously a lot going on in Green Bay, as we all know, and now you get a little bit of a break, but Josh Jones was the topic. I mean, everybody wanted to know, was he going to be back? He didn't skip the mini camp, but he wasn't there for the OTAs.
On the night the Packers drafted Josh Jones in the second round out of North Carolina State, the Packers had this plan. We've got Morgan Burnett at safety. We drafted Ha-Ha Clinton Dix out of Alabama in the first round. Morgan, probably not going to re-sign him in the next year or two. And by that time, our new safety package will be Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, along this kid from North Carolina State, Josh Jones. Well, now Josh Jones is there, and he sees Morgan Burnett. Yeah, move on. Ha-Ha's back there. Then he gets beat out by Kentrell Bryce, a guy who Joe Witt, the secondary coach, said, this guy just gets it. I love the way he sees the field, the way he plays. So we're going to start him because Josh is still learning the defense, still learning the coverages. Kentrell has a serious ankle injury. Josh gets some sports. They bring in other guys, too, for off the street last year to safety. And then in the offseason, the Packers do what? They sign Adrian Amos from the Bears for big money in free agency. And then their second pick in the first round is another safety, Darnell Savage Jr. So Josh Jones is sitting home and saying, wait a minute, this is my third year. When do I finally get to start back there at safety? And this is why when he came back to Green Bay this week, things got a little contentious when he was getting these questions about why he skipped all the OTAs.
I mean, according to, you know, NFLPA rules, you can't, there is no, what harm can be done for missing?
I'm just wondering if
not coming to voluntary work.
The inability to compete for a job.
I've been competing since day one I got here. Y'all remember that. Y'all was out here at OTAs my rookie year. Y'all was in training camp my rookie year, correct? Am I right? So, all right.
It's the NFL. You got to compete every year for the job, don't you?
Of course. Right. Of course, and I've been doing that.
But just not this spring, I guess is what.
I haven't been here.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
That's what I'm asking.
Did you not just hear what I said? Why I wasn't here?
Yes.
All right, then. And am I dealing with a hamstring? You heard that news, correct? So if I was able to practice, I would be out there because I'm here. I'm present, correct? Aren't you talking to me right now? All right, then.
Well, there you go.
Now, let me be upfront about this. Josh Jones was a terrific athlete at North Carolina State. There were scouts that are there calling a guy here in Green Bay saying, have you taken a look at this kid? The guy they were calling was a guy that used to scout the Southeast, Brian Gutekunst,
mm-hmm.
who 2 years later ends up becoming the new general manager.
Right.
The night that Josh Jones was drafted, Ted Thompson sat down Brian Gutekunst to talk to us because he's the one that scouted this guy and brought him in. They had, you know, he's got this, he's got a fiery personality about him, but he's well-liked in the locker room. He gets along, but, you know, he's competitive. And he's an athlete and can fly all over the field, but he's now been through two defensive coordinators who don't trust him with coverage.
Right. And
once upon,
at this
once
point,
upon a time, Green Bay had a kid named Jared Bush who just couldn't quite get the coverage thing down on defense, but he had a great career for the next 9 years as a gunner, as a punt blocker named Jared Bush. Well, Josh Jones doesn't want to be the next Jared Bush. He wants to be a starting safety somewhere in the NFL. He saw what happened to HaHa Clinton Dix. He figured he could be the next guy that gets traded out of town. I don't know if someone's going to find a home for him. In the meantime, Brian Gutekunst still thinks this guy is an athlete that could be turned around. And I thought you had a great question for the Packers GM on the show the other day.
How tough is it as a general manager when a guy says he wants out? You don't want somebody in your locker room that maybe doesn't want to be there. It can become a distraction at times. So how tough is it as a general manager to be put in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but I think the communication is the key, not only with the player, but with the agent, and just kind of, you know, I think laying out your, you know, kind of the way you see it from your point of view and respecting them and their point of view as well. And just keeping those lines of communication open. I think at the end of the day, like, you know, obviously we drafted Josh very high. We think very highly of him as an athlete and as a player, and would certainly like him to be here. We think he could do some good things for our defense. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But, you know, I think the potential for him in this defense with what Mike wants to do with him is, you know, is you know, he could be a very, very good player, productive player for us. So, these things can be tough, but that's just part of it.
So I think that you know,
what he didn't say was, well, we're planning on keeping him.
And, no, you know. But what Brian said is, like, we still think this guy is an athlete that somehow we could develop, and we'd like to have him in our depth chart. We'd like to have him in our pocket. But we understand where he's coming from, and so we'll work with the kid and say, look, just keep your cool. It's a big league. If I can get something for you, then we'll both be happy.
Right.
I don't want to see you go. I'd like to still see you have a chance to develop. And maybe we've got some new coaches back there. Maybe they can get the message through to you. But skipping out on us is not the way to go about, you know,
right,
your business. Now, one bright spot on your defense is the fact that you've got your second year with Mike Pettine in the defense, and everybody seems to be ahead of the game on defense. That was the word this week, according to everybody. Blake Martinez. I love this guy, man. I mean, he just keeps fighting. And remember that ankle injury? He goes to the tunnel against the Patriots, comes back in the fourth quarter. He's playing on half a foot and still is making tackles and finishes the rest of the season on an injury that should have taken him out for 3 weeks. Dude's a stud, led the team in tackles. He's your inside linebacker. He's your captain calling the plays. And the thing that I thought was interesting, he said, you know what? Even though I led the team in tackles, I looked at my tape, and here's something I got to do. I've got to trust my teammates now. I will trust Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith that they're going to do their thing so I can focus on mine, because too many times I found myself concerned that something on the backside wasn't taken care of, and I'd run over there, and then the quarterback would throw a ball over my shoulder.
Right.
And I got Blake to tell me about that story. Can we do that? Okay, we'll take a break, and I'll play that for you here coming up.
Stay tuned. We got more, including the Aaron Rodgers discussion. That's next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The understanding of where my help's at, what guys I can work within a given defensive call, whatever it ends up being, I think that was the major component for me that I was missing. And I feel like I was feeling like I was alone and had to make the heroic play, the Superman play, instead of just playing my assignment and making the plays that came to me.
Those are the words of Blake Martinez joining us here in studio, Mike Clemens. And he's also brought to you by our friends at Chili's. Hurry into Chili's for the three for 10 deal. That's a starter, entree, drink for just $10. You can enjoy bacon-loaded favorites like cheesy bacon ranch quesadillas or the mouth-watering bacon burger with fries. Five delicious entrees to choose from. Don't forget, together we Chili's. Mike Clemens is here, and the words of Blake Martinez. You like that guy?
I do. At inside linebacker and the captain. So now Michael Silver from the NFL Network was in Green Bay on Tuesday, and you said now his story is coming out when? Next week? It's
supposed to come out sometime next week, yeah.
I saw him interviewing Aaron Rodgers at his locker. Now, Aaron Rodgers was talking about his wide receivers. Of course, Davante Adams is going to be his number one. People would assume that Geronimo Allison is going to be his number two, but you know what? Marquez Valdez-Scantling is making a case to be the number two with the way he's running routes, his speed, his height, how he's out there. So Aaron Rodgers says, don't forget about number 16, Jake Kumerow.
You know what you're doing, and you're in the right spot at the right time, and you don't make repeat mental mistakes. And that is not who Jake Kumar is. He is an extremely intelligent guy who's in the right place at the right time. He makes contested catches. He makes the plays that are there. And he does little things. Like, I'm always, you know, I'm always applauding in an overt way to let the other guys know this is how you practice. He made a catch. You guys were there a couple days ago in the back of the end zone. And he made a supernatural toe drag. It's just something that a lot of guys don't do. They might just, you know, one-two it real quick and kind of run out of the back of the end zone. But he one-two toe drag. Just little things like that that he does, I think almost innately, that separates him from a guy you might not trust as much, because you know the guy's going to do it right. He's going to always be in the right spot. He knows what he's doing all the time and what the other guys are doing. And then when he gets a chance to make plays, he makes plays. And he does it in a super classy, understated way.
Very complimentary, looking for the next guy that's going to be his Jordy, obviously.
Exactly.
And now, you know, again, he comes out with the Michael Silver thing, you know, which is a little bit interesting.
And Silver's going to start saying about this guy is still going to run the offense the way he wants to.
You know, he just, you know, Aaron had said, I don't think you want to turn me off 11 years. There's stuff that not many people in the league can do with the line. That's not a humble brag thing. That's just a fact. That's the statement, but I wanted to see the context because I want to see how things are between him and we won't know until they put the pads on and start running plays.
So the Packers brought in Mercedes Lewis after 14 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then in January, Mercedes sat down in an interview with former tight end Martellus Bennett, and they talked about Aaron Rodgers.
The locker room there is a little different than what I'm used to. I think, you know, being in Jacksonville, that locker room was more vocal. Guys, if they're bitter, they're going to show it. They're going to talk about it. And Green Bay is a little different. You know, all of that stuff that happened towards the end in Green Bay all came from the top. I felt like, you know, Aaron had his own set of things that he wanted to do. And then, you know, obviously McCarthy had his things that he wanted to do. But I just think it was a little dysfunction. The one time I really saw it for the first time is we were in the huddle. And Aaron was like, I guess McCarthy called into play. And Aaron kind of was like, nah. He's like, Devontae, give me this. Sadie's come off the ball. You give me this. Gave a direction and a protection to the line and went. And it was 4-minute offense. He threw a 40-yard bomb for a completion. I'm like, what's really going on? Like, I never seen nothing like that before in my life.
Yeah, I never like that. But the thing with that whole thing was like, as a tight end, I think McCarthy's offense was one of the worst offenses you could be in as a tight end.
No question.
Like, you're not getting the seam balls. You're not getting the deep sevens. You're not getting the deep over routes. They don't call that. So I think a lot of stuff that you build as a tight end to be productive, I think that's a lot of reason why they haven't had a productive tight end, like an overly productive tight end in years there, because of the way that offenses run. But also, Aaron likes to throw the ball to the outside of the field and not in the middle of the field. So it's like, when you look at, as a tight end, when you look at certain quarterbacks, there's some people who like to eat up the middle, but Aaron like to hit them outside comebacks, 19-yard, 25-yard comebacks. He just like to show off.
Just throwing the ball from one hash all the way to the sideline.
Did he ever hit you with a no-look pass?
Did he?
Did you drop it?
Bro, nah, I like bobbled it and caught it.
I dropped it. I was like, what the f*** is that?
Bro,
there you go.
So that's Mercedes Lewis in January with Martellus Bennett. I think Lewis thought at the time, yeah, I'm not going to get back into Green Bay. I only got like 3 balls thrown to me. The one that Rodgers threw to Lewis that he had about a 35-yard gain was a huge play to the left-hand side. And Aaron said, yeah, we ran that in practice. Didn't look real good, but it turned out good. And my point was, this is why they brought this guy in from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He beat them a couple of years ago with the very same play. Once you put the ball in Mercedes Lewis's hands, nobody, it takes 3 guys to bring him down. This gets back to this. The reason that Lewis is back is because it wasn't the quarterback that was a problem. It was the playbook was the problem. And they brought back Jimmy Graham and Lewis because they want a playbook that gets the tight ends involved. That's why these 2 guys are back in Green Bay.
Michael, always good stuff, buddy. Enjoy your Father's Day weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.